All right. Just do me a favor, turn this back a little bit. Yeah, I like to kind of eat the mic, so it'll get a little loud. Check, check. All right, maybe a little bit more. Thank you, Lord. Let's don't go back into business as usual. May our hearts burn for you, Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not saying what we would normally do is bad. I just sense the hovering of the Holy Spirit. And I recognize this. It's a little bit different, but there's something really good happening right now in the room. Let's just don't miss this Kairos moment to let... You remember on the road to Emmaus when they said, did not... Can you turn this back a little bit? It's just like booming in my face. I feel like... Thank you. I feel like on the road to Emmaus when it said... Did not our hearts burn within us? That's what we were singing there. And our hearts burn for you, Jesus. And our hearts burn for you, Jesus. May our hearts burn for you, Jesus. For you. He's walking up to somebody right now. Just keep your eyes closed. He's walking up to you with a gift. It's the gifts of Jesus, the gifts of Christ. And our hearts burn for you. Anybody see him right now? Just wave your hand at me. All right. Ask him what he's doing. Take a look around you. Let our hearts burn, Lord. Let our hearts burn. Burn for you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Right now, there's a house full of, this isn't a word of knowledge, I know this for sure. There's a house full of about 40 young people right here in Chapel Hill, crying out to God with all of their hearts. It's called Gospel Hut, and it started a few years ago on one night of the week, and it's now expanded to 3 meetings a week. And young people are on their faces and on their knees and with their voices raised, shouting out to the Lord. Some of you guys have been there. Michael is, what do they call you, Michael? The mayor?
The Christian mayor.
The Christian mayor. We'll find that story out later. But anyway, there's a fathering heart of God that God has for the generations running together. And I just pray right now that that flame that's burning on Gospel Hut, Lord, that you would just fan that flame. As we join together in the Spirit, right, in your ecclesia, God, we just fan that flame over those guys, those girls, Lord, those young people, any mothers and fathers that are there. We just fan that flame. Like, Jesus, would you pour out your Spirit in such a way that it would just explode into the streets all around us, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Woo, it's good. Y'all having fun yet? This is my favorite. This is my favorite kind of church. I mean, I just love when church is just like, wow, what is God going to do next? Even the preacher doesn't know. That's the best. I'm telling you, I feel something that I've experienced many years ago in the past. It's different, of course, but there is a hovering. Just every time we gather, expect. Expect God to do something remarkable. If we'll just play and stay in that low place of humility. There's no experts here. And everybody gets to play. You know? What you got, Jody?
For the people online, I'll get you the mic.
This is
going to
be hard for me.
It's good.
The Lord is blessing this church. I prayed, and every day He's led me deeper and deeper that this church is going to grow. Matthew, you're an amazing preacher. And I know you're going to touch. It's the young people. You are going to touch the young people. That's what the Lord showed me. And I'm so happy for you all. And I'm so thankful for you all. Because your prayer has brought me home. And I almost missed it again. And I'm here again.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful because I never, ever stopped praying. I have been praying for 76 years. And I trust the Lord. I trust the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is say, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Yes.
As I walk down the road, as I go in my job, help me to love the people around me. Help me to love my loved ones.
Yeah.
Let your love just grow.
Yes.
Amen.
That's it.
Lift.
That's it.
The name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus. Amen. So if you didn't know, Jody almost died a couple of times.
Three
times. And she stood with the Lord. The Lord's revealed His heart to her. So just reach out your hands to her and Marty too. Because the Lord's going to use you for the harvest of young people. We need you. We need these prophetic words that just came forth from your heart. It's like a river flowing through this place. It just got a lot stronger. So Lord, we just bless Jody and Marty. God, as a couple, Lord, their hearts that you put there as gold. Lord, we pray that you would sustain them, equip them. God, that they would dream dreams that they would see come to pass. Thank you for them, Lord. Just move upon them. Amen. That was good. That was really good. So Kobe's Lakers are in the finals again. Michael. I don't really like the Lakers, but maybe it's prophetic. Rip Kobe. He was only 41. Michael wrote a song about Kobe back right after his passing. Like, what is God doing here? It's good. Lord, have mercy. It's just tragic. So much tragedy. So much heartache. The heart of the Father is just broken over all of these things that have gone on in our nation and are going on, you know. Yet, at the same time, what was that called? The response? The return? The return. I forget all these, so many different names. The return, and then on the 26th of October, is it? There's another gathering on the mall in D.C. Have you ever seen so many gatherings on the mall? I mean, it's been going on for years. Is anybody going to that? What's that called? Is there a name for it?
It's the Let Us Worship.
The Let Us Worship. That's a good name. How far is it to D.C. from here? 4.5 hours? That's not bad. Yeah. So a Wesleyan pastor friend of mine, too, a number of years ago when he was in college, and yeah, that was 20-something years ago, he saw Franklin Street turn into a river in a vivid vision. And, you know, a Wesleyan guy. And I never forgotten that vision, because when I moved back to town here, I found out about 2 years later about that vision. And it just feels like the streets are getting wet with the Spirit of God. You know, right, David? Woo! Thank you, Lord. And I think that we're going to need a lot of grace during this season, Donna. Not just you, but everybody. We're going to need a lot of grace, Kendrell. A lot of grace. And so, you know, last month I was preaching on truth. And to be honest with you, I liked preaching on that because God told me to, but I didn't enjoy it. And just to be honest, it was just, I don't know, it felt a little prickly, but I felt like it was God prickly. So I'm driving down the road one day. This was about a week and a half ago. And I'm like, Lord, what's the fruit for next month? What's the fruit for October? And he said, well, how did Jesus come? And I knew what the answer was. And so I got excited. Oh, well, Jesus came full of grace and truth. He goes, well, there you go. I'm like, you mean I get to preach on grace? He goes, yeah, preach on grace. I'm like, yes. I actually enjoy that one. I like to preach on grace because it's become a part of who I am. It's become a part of who we are. Grace is the gospel. And so on the way to church this morning, I saw it like a grapefruit. Does anybody like grapefruit? Wow, I haven't eaten grapefruit in a while, but you know how you cut them, and I used to like to divide them out and like spoon them out. If you want them to be really good, put a little sugar on them. But I don't eat sugar right now. So anyway, it's the juicy grapefruit of grace. So nourishing. It's got all the vitamin C that we need right now. Little plug, take your vitamin C and your zinc and what's that other thing that I take? D, vitamin D. Don't forget your vitamins. I'm just like your mom up here reminding you to take your vitamins. For years, she tried to get me to take vitamins. And until this season, I never would take them. Take your vitamins. Eat your greens. It's full of good stuff in the natural, but also in the spiritual, right? Because in Revelation 22, just to take you back, there's that river. That's why we're called River Life. It's life in the river. The river is the Holy Spirit. The river is His presence. It's always ebbing and flowing. I heard a quote recently. I think it was at our Mooresville church. Who was that preaching there last Sunday? Randall Worley. And he said, you know, there's a phrase that you never step into the same river twice. I'm butchering this phrase, but because the river's always moving. So you never step into the same river twice. And that is just like God. Like God is always the same yesterday, today, and forever, but He's always moving. He's always flowing. He's never really the same. So in that river that flows from heaven, there's a tree planted there. And the Bible says in Revelation 22 that there's a fruit, there's a crop from that tree every month. And so at the beginning of 2020, the Lord said, I'm going to give you a crop for every month. So guess what you get to eat this month, guys? The grapefruit of grace. Come on, pass it around. Cut it open. Little did I know how much we'd need that this week. One of my favorite things to do is get rowdy in worship. You know, like just sorry if it's offensive or loud or annoying, but I just there's just this eruption in my belly. And like David said to his distinguished wife, hey, wife, I'm going to give it even more undignified than this. He's just dancing with all his might. He's twirling in the streets. Why? Because he's celebrating the return of the presence. And that's how I feel whenever worship is going on. Usually try to hold myself back slightly. But this morning, I just wanted to dance, twirl, sing, shout, roar, lie down, stand up, whatever God. Whatever God wants to do in us will become even more undignified than this. Not for the sake of being undignified, but for the sake of just our undying passion and love. How many know that when that immoral woman broke the alabaster box over Jesus, that was very undignified. That was not a distinguished thing to do at all. In fact, the very religious people standing there were going, you could sell this box for a lot of money and give it to the poor. Very good things could be done with this. But as the old Welshman revivalist Arthur Burt used to say, brother, the good is the enemy of the best. Lots of good things can be done with these things, but what's better than wasting it all on him? Pouring it out all on him. And that's where his grace comes in. His grace is sufficient for us. John 1, first in the New King James, then in the Passion. Many of you probably know this. John 1 is kind of a classic, but yet it's one of those things you could read a million and one times. And the Word became flesh, this is in verse 14, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness, we have all received what? Grace for grace. And for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Again, in the Passion Translation, same verses. And so the living expression became a man and lived among us. And we gazed upon him. This is the next one down. The splendor of his glory, the glory of the one and only one who came from the Father, overflowing with tender mercy and truth. John 1:15 in the Passion. Just listen to this. John taught the truth about him when he announced to the people, he's the one. Set your hearts on him. I told you he would come after me, even though he ranks far above me, for he existed before I was even born. I love that. Here's like Jesus's cousin. And he's like, look, guys, he's the one. He existed even before I was born. He always has been. And that call is really just as real today as it was back then. Look into Jesus. Look into Jesus. Point the people in your life to Jesus. You know, you can bring them to you and you can pet them with a nice little scripture verse and pat them with a little good thing here and a little good thing there. But you know who really has the answer for them? Bring them to Jesus, just like John. Point them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus. Whatever the challenges are in your life, take it before him. And then in verse 16 in the Passion, and now out of his fullness we are fulfilled. And listen to this. And from him we receive grace heaped upon more grace. Amen. Hey, you want a helping of grace? All right, here you go. Now, heap another helping on top of that. Take some more. Heap some more on top of that. It's like that big mound of mashed potatoes at the dinner table. Take some more mashed potatoes, Jaden. Here you go. Pile it on. And it's just growing and growing. You want some gravy with that? It's the gravy of His love, His joy. That's the gravy. Sometimes when I'm just pouring it all out, I just want to laugh and cry at the same time. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because the gravy of His joy just gets poured out into my heart. And I just can't take it anymore. I can't. I just want to express it. Just want to get it out there. In the Passion, the last verse, John 1:17, Moses gave us the law, but Jesus, the anointed one, unveils truth wrapped in tender mercy. Ooh, that sounds like a gift. Like a gift under the Christmas tree. But grace and truth came. So He unveils truth wrapped in tender mercy. That's the grace. Grace heaped upon more grace. Ooh. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. So this week, Sarah and I were just kind of going through this situation with somebody. It wasn't somebody in the church or anything like that. Don't worry. But it was one of those situations where you just feel like you didn't have an answer. And I think separately at different times, we both kind of wanted to like run from it. Have you ever felt that way? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're just like, Lord, I don't have what I need for this. Lord, I've been through this before and it's not working. Lord, the challenge here is so great. I'm not sure what verse to quote or what prayer to pray. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And but God came through with His grace. And you know, Paul had that, and you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And while we're going there, I feel like now is a season for us personally, for us as a church, and for us as a nation, where more than ever we need grace. We need what we don't deserve. I was thinking about that song, America the Beautiful, where it says, God shed His grace on thee. You know what I'm talking about? Woe is us if we think that in America we've deserved anything. No, that song's exactly right. What we've been given, what we have had is by grace. It's an undeserved favor. Lord, forgive us for haughtiness, for pride, for arrogance, in that thinking that anything of our own is good enough to get all God's goodness and all His gifts, all the things that we've been given as a nation, to think that it's because of us. No, it's not because of any one of us or any of our ancestors. It's because of God's grace. He shed His grace on us. And aren't we now more than ever in need of that same grace? Like, God, shed Your grace on us, Your undeserved favor. Now more than ever, we need the power of Christ living in us. Those are the two applications of grace. Undeserved favor, the power of Christ in us. Now more than ever, we must give grace. Now more than ever, we must receive grace. We need a recognition of what we've received to give freely to others. So the two applications, though, out of those applications of grace, I feel like for us is, number one, we need grace for ourselves. How many know that that can be the hardest person to give grace to? Few people. Yeah, I think it's growing. You're just so hard on yourself. It's understandable. You were raised that way, or, you know, that's just, there's a million different probably reasons why. Because as Americans, we're known for our, you know, our pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we try harder. you know? And, you know, that can earn some things. It can get you some place in the natural. But in the spiritual, it sort of works the other way. You lean back, you let God. You let go, He gives you everything. And by His grace, not only are we saved, it's not by works, but we grow in likeness of Him by grace. It's talked about in Galatians by the Apostle Paul. So we need grace. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to give yourself some grace. That's hard to do. What are you saying to yourself if you had a mirror in front of you? You're saying you need what you don't deserve. You get what you didn't earn, David. That's what you get. Why? Because of Him. Because of His grace. After all, let's be honest. Don't we already have that? I don't know about you, but I've tried my darndest to shipwreck my life. And by His grace, it's like He wouldn't let me. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I've tried a little harder than Abby. She's probably done better than me, but no, she's like, no, not me. Anybody else? I'm sure we could find somebody in here who's pretty like. God's given you grace. Shouldn't you give yourself some grace? And you know what? The second one is we need to give other people grace. Because we can't. You know why we don't give other people grace? Because we don't give ourselves grace. And you can't give away what you don't have. I can't have grace for Michael if I don't have grace for Matthew. Honestly, it just really doesn't work. You can give it lip service, but it's not heartfelt. And so then he can feel that. Down deep, I really know it. And then the cycle just continues. I know this cycle in marriage. You know, that's the cycle. I don't have grace for her. She didn't have grace for me. And so somebody's got to break the cycle. Or the insanity continues and snowballs until that little bitty problem becomes a giant thing. Does any married couple know what I'm talking about? By the way, speaking of married couples, Chuck and Janet are celebrating their 45th wedding anniversary today. Yeah. Is it grace?
Forgiveness.
And forgiveness. Mercy.
And more mercy and grace.
More mercy and grace. So if you need prayer for your marriage,
grace,
you come get Chuck and Janet out for it.
If you don't believe in mercy and grace and forgiveness, get married.
Get married. It'll work it in you, won't it? Oh, it'll work it in you.
And then have kids.
Yeah. And then have a couple of kids. A couple more and a couple more after that if you were us. And you really learn the rhythms of grace. This is the most beautiful thing. This is a gift we've all been given. It's all because of Jesus. We're not under the burden of the law. We're walking in a greenhouse of grace.
That's right.
Oh. I think the message is over, but just to make it legal, I'm going to read one scripture. Oh, I already read a scripture. Technically, it's legal. I'm going to read one more. Is that okay? And it's 2 Corinthians 12, because I think I told you to turn there, or click there, or whatever you do there. New Living Translation this time. I love this. Byron and Becky are going to be here next Sunday. So, yay. And these first few verses here are Byron's, I'm just telling his secrets. These are like his favorite verses because it's just what he loves and aspires in his heart. Paul, and then the second ones that I'm going to focus on, not so much, and you'll see why in a minute. But these first few are really cool. He says, "This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. That's Byron's thing. Visions and revelations from the Lord. He's always getting visions and revelations from the Lord. As I mean, who doesn't love that? That's what else is there, right? Visions and revelations from the Lord. It's so good. But Paul says, I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. I don't know. That makes me excited about heaven. Like, I'm really excited about heaven. I mean, really excited. I mean, I'm excited about the next 40 or 50 or whatever many years I have left here. But this right here, when I get to paradise and I get to like hear these things and see these sounds, I don't know. I'm reading some of the postcards. You know, Mom's got a book. Have you finished that book yet, Mom? Okay, I got to borrow that from you too. About people who have seen things like what Paul's talking about. Has anybody even remotely had an encounter like this where you're not sure whether you were in your body or out of your body in a good, godly sort of way? A couple people? Yeah. I've had a few of them. I don't know if they were quite as dramatic as what Paul's talking about here. I will say this, in one of them I saw our daughter, Zion, who died in the womb. You know, I saw her and she showed us like the house in paradise. And it was a really, really cool sort of vision on the TV screen of my heart mind. Okay, let's just put it that way. But it was so powerful that it just caused me to always hold on to this hope that the Bible has, this hope of the other side, this hope of paradise, right? So here's what's coming, though. While we're on this earth, things are prickly. Everybody say, things are prickly. People are prickly. Say, people are prickly. Situations are prickly. I guarantee you, and I'm not trying to pick on them, but if you took Michael and Chris and me and Sarah and T that are just up here enjoying worship this morning, there's probably some challenges that Michael faces. Am I right about that? Chris isn't in here, but there might be a prickly situation here or there, or a challenging person that T works with, or Sarah has to be married to me. So, I mean, you know, how much more prickly can you be? Like, it's just prickly. And so it's interesting that out of Paul's encounter in paradise, what does he talk about next? Prickly situations. Let's read on. Said that, okay, that experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I'll boast only about my weaknesses. What? He's not going to tell us the testimony, but instead he's going to tell us about his weakness. Why in the world would you do that? I don't know. I got to find out. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God. So to keep me from being proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. Has anybody ever done that? Please, God, I am begging you, Jesus, would you just please get this prickly person, situation, whatever it is, out of my life. But Paul found the answer here. He found the solution. Each time this is Jesus, he said to me, why don't we read this together? My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. What does all mean? Are you sure? Grace is all that you need. If you go on to read Paul's letters, you will find, I can't remember, Byron knows, I can't remember how many times he uses this word charis, this word grace. I mean, it's just over and over and over again. In greetings and salutations to begin and end his letters and all through, he's always talking about grace. He tells the Galatians, he's like, listen, this is, I think, Galatians chapter 2. You can look it up later. He's like, do you guys think that you began in grace, but now you're going to become holy by your works? Wrong. That's not how it works. God began a work in you and he's going to complete it by his grace. Keep walking in grace. In fact, he even goes on to use some strong language with the churches in Galatia and say, what kind of witchcraft are you buying into? What kind of formulas do you think you can do that's works-based that's going to get you all that you need? No, it's grace. It's a lavish grace because grace is what's needed for weakness. My grace in the other translation that you're familiar with, Mom, is what? My grace is sufficient for you, right? Because what?
My strength is made
perfect in weakness. Who wants to be strong? Everybody wants to be strong. But you know what the answer is to being strong spiritually? It's not doing better and working harder. Amen. See, that's counterintuitive. Because in school, if you study more, you do all, you know, all your T's are crossed, your I's are dotted, so to speak, then you get the grade. I'm not saying you don't do anything in the kingdom. I'm saying it's by grace you've been saved, and by grace you work, and by grace you grow, and by grace you become more and more like Jesus. Take the spin off it. It's just relationship. With relationship, real relationship, there's no formula. If I approached her like a formula, she would smack me across the room. Get away from me with your formulas. No, it's intimacy. It's heart. It's connection, right? That's what grace is. That is grace. And how did Jesus come? Full of grace and truth. See, that's the other thing, is grace leads you into truth. And who is truth? Jesus, with a capital T. Again, not my truth, not your truth, not subjective truth. He is the objective, the truth, the way, the life.
Yes, sir.
It's grace and truth. Grace leads us into his truth. So he says, so now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power, everybody say power.
Power.
The power of Christ can work through me. So remember I said, you need grace for yourself because you can't give grace to other people. That's what he's talking about. Is power isn't just come to you and then that's it. You're meant to be a conduit. The way Bill Johnson says it is, he says, The Holy Spirit is in me for me, but he's on me for you. In other words, there's supposed to be a flow through our lives of grace. We're a conduit. So Paul says, and it's the power of Christ that works through me. And that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, boom. Then I'm strong.
Wow.
Wait, what? Everybody take a time out. Did I read that correctly? Maybe the Bible changed. Did Paul really say that he takes pleasure in his weaknesses? We've been reading in Acts recently, and I think it was Peter and John. They got called into the office, you know, to the principal's office again. And not really the principal. It was the religious leaders for doing something good, something God. And they got flogged. I mean, let's don't gloss over that. I don't know if it was the cat of nine tails. Maybe you know Peter. I don't know what it was used. But is it safe to say that they probably had skin ripped off their backs? I mean, this was a beating. Like, this was bad. This wasn't just like a little spanking or like a little slap on the hand. Don't do that anymore, or a fine. This was physical, bloody, painful, and demonic. And then they got released from there and forbidden from saying the name of Jesus again. And guess what they did? You know, Tim. They went right back at it, didn't they? They went back. And not only did they begin to preach again, but at the end of that chapter in Acts, it says they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer with Jesus. Wait a second. That's not my version of Christianity. Like, if my car breaks down, I think, what is going wrong? Where's the sin of my life? Why is God punishing me? You know, this is remarkable because power works best in weakness. What does this mean? It means that when you have no other options, grace can work. It means that when you are at your wit's end, grace can work. It means that when you have no more answers, theologies, or solutions, grace can work. Love wins, yeah, but grace wins. Grace wins out in your life. Seek that out. Search that out. Dive into that with all of your gusto. I promise you, He will not let you down because His grace is there. I'm going to get to this next week, but radical forgiveness is there. That's how the first century church could live that out. Is they could be treated poorly, horrendously, and all these things that are going on. But look into the face of Jesus. What was Jesus' response? It was grace. Look at the woman caught in adultery. Grace, but go and sin no more, right? Where are your accusers? I don't have any. Good, go and sin no more. There's grace, there's truth. Stop sinning. Look at Zacchaeus. He was a thief. When he looked in the face of Jesus, what did he see? Grace and love and truth. And Jesus didn't even say anything to him. He goes, whatever I've stolen from people, I'm going to give it all back. Like, this is the message of the cross. This is the power of God. The power in you, the power through you. And listen, I think that the world really needs this right now. Because I don't deserve what I get. And I believe I can give that away to other people. I can give kindness even when I'm not treated kindly. I can give love even when it doesn't feel like anybody's loving me out there. You know, all these things, it's the opposite spirit, right? It's the opposite. You guys stand with me. Oh, when you have no other options. That's where we were at in our situation this week. Grace can step in. When you're at your wit's end, grace can step in. When you have no more answers or solutions, grace can step in. It's Jesus. So Holy Spirit, come and let all this truth and all this grace saturate us today. Saturate us today. Lord, we take a hold of that fruit right now. You feel it in your hand spiritually. That great fruit of grace, Lord, right now. And this week, Lord, we're going to carve it open. We're going to eat of its antioxidants, Lord. We're going to drink its juice, Lord. That grace, Lord, let it be so rich and nourish our souls today. We just thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.